that is that God is able. If we call on him, if we look to him, if we trust him, whatever needs are present in our lives, God is able to supply, he's able to provide, he's able to take care of our every need and to take care of us in every situation. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders this morning. Thank God for them ministering to us in music. Several are out this day, but praise God for those who are here and leading us in this time of praise and worship. I want you to come and go with me this morning to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to read in your hearing verses 18 and 19, and we're going to get right into the word today. It reads as follows. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Bow with me this morning. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We give you thanks. We give you glory, O Lord, for allowing us to be here to worship today. And I pray, O Lord, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, Lord, that you may be heard today. I pray, O God, that you would use my mind and my mouth to communicate the message that is outlined for today, and I pray, Lord, that it will resonate. It will find a resting place in the hearts of your children today. Be glorified, dear Heavenly Father. Give those who are away traveling mercy. Bless those who are sick and shut in. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. The blessing of a spirit-guided conscience. This is a message that's not going to make you shout, but it'll sure help you as it relates to living a life that pleases God. Webster defines the conscience as the sense or consciousness of moral goodness or blameworthiness of a person's own conduct, intentions, or character combined with a feeling of obligation to do right, amen, or to do good. Conscience is defined as that inner voice acting, amen, to guide our behavior and our conduct. Conscience refers to the moral strength of an individual. And the conscience basically is God's early warning system. It is God's check and balance in the life of human beings. And you know, we have numerous early warning systems or warning systems at our disposal. Most of us have alarm systems in our home, so if somebody tries to enter without our permission, it goes off. Some of us have, some of y'all, I don't have one, have Ring doorbell systems. And if you have a Ring doorbell system, when a person walks up on your steps, it sends an alert and you can communicate with them without ever coming out of your house or even being at home. And it'll show you a picture of who's out there. Then some of us have doorbells that have specific alerts. And I can remember dropping Deacon Lindsay off one day. And as I pulled around the corner, I didn't even make it to 107th Street. And this dog started barking inside my truck. And I knew something was wrong, so I said, he must have left his phone. So I turned around and went back. What it meant was that he had got into the zone of his camera on his front steps. And when I got back, we had a good laugh. I gave him his phone, and he went on in the house, and I went on about my business. We have a national weather warning system that will sound if dangerous weather is imminent, particularly if we're going to have a tornado. The tornado warnings will go off to let us know that it's time for us to take cover. And then we have the national defense warning system that tell, and we don't want to hear that one, because when we hear that one, we know that we either under attack or it's being tested. We don't, the test is bad enough. But if we ever hear it and it's not a test, we know that World War III probably has just begun. Our conscience is God's warning system, pending danger, the potential for sinning, and or even an opportunity to do good. But the conscience, it's like every other warning system. If we don't obey it, if we ignore it, if we don't pay attention to it, it is of absolutely no good. It doesn't do us any good to have it if we're not gonna pay attention to it. Just like the alarm system on your house. If you're not going to get up and see what's going on when it goes off, you may as well not have it. Well, it's a warning system kind of in the vein of when America was at war and they would come upon a minefield. And when they got there, if they didn't have time to clear all the mines out of that path, they would post warnings for those soldiers that would be coming after them, so they would know that their mines buried in this section of the road. And God has given us a conscience that deals with, it monitors our emotions, it monitors our thoughts and our conduct. The conscience is amazing. It can be ignored, it can even be disrespected. And when we do it, it leads to problems, or could lead to problems of catastrophic proportion. Since the conscience comes from God, I believe that he has given it to us to help us avoid danger and harm. Because through the conscience, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I. I want you to understand how important our conscience is. See, a lot of people think the conscience only works when we've done something wrong. But the conscience actually helps us prevent falling prey to the snares and the temptations of the devil. Let's take conscience. Well, I want to tell you that the conscience does work. Jesus in John 8 was in the temple and he was teaching there, and there the scribes and Pharisees came in with a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. That's what they told Jesus. And they said, Jesus, according to Moses, the law, she should be stoned. Jesus just stooped down and began to write on the ground. And they repeated it, and when they did, in verses 7 and 8, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let them throw the first stone at her. And then he stooped down and began writing in the ground, on the ground again. Well, most of us would have agreed, mob, that according to the law of Moses, she should have been stoned. But Jesus raised the bar, amen, and cause each one of them to do a self-inventory, to take a look at their lives, and then make their judgment based on how their conduct had been. Well, the conscience does work. Because notice, starting with the oldest down to the youngest, they began dropping their stones and walking away. Well, maybe older people just pick up on spiritual things faster than younger folk. Or maybe they just done so much dirt that it catches them quicker. My point is that the conscience does work. And because it worked in that particular instance, each one of them dropped their stones, walked away, and when they were gone, Jesus stood and said, "Where are your accusers?" It did work in that particular instance because, and it works with us as well, that if we allow the conscience to speak to our hearts, it will either convict us, and I'm going to get to it, or excuse us of what we've been doing. Now, every believer's goal in life is written in Acts 24, 15 and 16. It says, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the good or just and unjust. This being so, myself always strive to have a good conscience without offense toward God and men." Hey, one thing that this reminds us all of, that one day there will be a resurrection of the dead. The just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the bad are all going to rise. And the Bible says that after the resurrection comes the judgment. So each of us are going to have to stand before God and give account for everything that we said or done in this life. Paul was standing before the governor Felix, and he was striving to enlighten Felix and those in the court that day of the reality of a resurrection of the dead. But what he also wanted them to understand, that every day of his life, he was striving or working to have a conscience that was clear, a conscience that was clean, a conscience that was right before both, not just God, but before God and man. And you and I, for the same reason, need to strive, make it our goal every day of our lives to maintain a clean conscience, to be able to look in the mirror at ourselves and not be convicted or condemned by what we see. So when you think about this, because we have to give an account to God, and because, sure enough, we will stand before him, we ought to work each day of our lives to make sure that our consciences are clean. Now, and I'll tell you why. It's because the conscience has power. In Romans 2:15, it says, "Who show the work of the law in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them." Now, that tells you right there that the conscience has power to either set you free or to convict you. Amen. So the conscience can bring you into a place of condemnation or a place of exoneration. If you listen to the conscience, it will help you know where you are in your standing with Almighty God. Now, Paul is referencing the book of Jeremiah here in this particular passage. And with that, he's saying that even though Gentiles did not have the written law of God, God had written his law on the tables of their hearts. Amen. And because of that law he had written there, their conduct was judged righteous by God, even though they did not have the written revelation that had been given to the Jews. Now, God desires that we do what's right, and that we do it because we want our consciences to be clear. And God counts our righteousness righteous, our actions righteous, based on his word and our obedience to his word and what he has written on our hearts. When you look at there were two covenants. There was an old covenant and there was a new covenant. The old covenant was given to Israel, amen, and I believe we kind of talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, as a schoolmaster to teach them that they needed regeneration. They needed to be redeemed. They needed to be saved. With that one, by the law, no flesh could be what? Justified. So therefore, you can find salvation that the new covenant is better because with it came grace. And grace delivers us from the power of sin, places us in right standing with God, and allows us to live in a way that we know that we have eternal life. The new covenant is also better in its extent because it included you and me who are Gentiles. The old law was not for you and me, but now it's all better in application because God wrote his word on our hearts so we can never, if I never take my Bible anywhere, I've got my conscience. And in my conscience is written the law of God that tells me right and wrong, righteousness and unrighteousness. And God has given to each of us that power that comes through the conscience. Paul demonstrated the critical role of the conscience. If you would, look at Romans 9:1. And it says, I tell the truth that I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Now, when a person's conscience is shaped and disciplined by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it will lead us to righteous living and doing those things that ultimately please and give God glory. So the conscience does have power. Now, let me touch this, and I'm going to move on to headed for a close. I'm not going to keep you long. But there's danger in ignoring our conscience. There's real danger when we just disallow the conscience, like God is not speaking to us through our conscience. And let me go back to 1 Timothy 1:19. And it says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Now, when we ignore the conscience, we reject the conscience, as Paul put it in here to Timothy, nothing good can come to the person who rejects what God is saying to them through the conscience. It said that it leads to shipwreck. And that's a very graphic description of people who are in imminent danger and probably serious harm. If a ship would hit a reef or an iceberg, tear the hull of that vessel, it would immediately almost begin to sink. But let's just say that the closest help was 8 to 10 hours away. Oh, but you got your life jacket on and you in the water. And then somebody tell you, well, this water shark infested. you see that shipwreck is a very graphic picture of a person being in serious danger or peril. So Paul uses that word to tell Timothy that those who reject their conscience they suffer shipwreck. And when they suffer shipwreck, they're going to be in deep water. Now, what I will say in a spiritual sense, that Satan is the shark that's in the water. Amen. And the Bible says that he comes but what? To rob, to steal, and to destroy. So if we reject our consciences and we end up shipwrecked, we need to understand that we could end up in the hands, or maybe to put it more literal, in the jaws of Satan. You don't want to be shipwrecked. Listen to your conscience. God gave it to you to guide you through this life. Now, I realize that some people's conscience is just corrupt. It's gone. It's all messed up. Go with me to Titus 1:15. It says, to the pure, all things are what? Pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. As we said, the conscience is the human capability of being able to discern right and wrong, good and evil. And the conscience is literally connected to our will. A good conscience is one that is guided by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it enables us to navigate through life, dealing righteously with the moral issues with which we'll be confronted as we go this way. A compromised conscience, according to 1 Timothy 4:2, it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, that person, seared literally means that the conscience has been scarred and it is incapable of producing good behavior. It's not able to discern or to rightly divide the information that is that comes into it. Okay, and so to simplify it, the principle is that of a person whose fingers are severely burned, and all the tactility, the ability to feel pain or even sometimes to pick up something is gone because the nerves have been singed and there's no feeling left in those fingers. And I believe that is what Paul is saying here. Sometimes our consciences become seared to the point where they are insensitive to the voice of God. God can shout, he can scream, and we just don't hear it. Amen. We ignore the conscience, we violate, we abuse it, and in so doing, we disallow or ignore the voice of Almighty God. See, God is speaking to us, and he desires that we do his will. When we're not hearing the voice of God, we are subject to fall into any kind of temptation. When I think about this in apocalyptic terms, relative to the dangers, the evil that are so pervasive as we near the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God is speaking to us and desires that we pay attention to his voice. He wants us to understand exactly what we're saying. See, and when I talk about evil, evil doesn't always come in the form of crime, of drugs, of violence, or brutality. Amen. Sometimes evil shows up well-dressed, smiling and looking good, Amen. And see, it shows up sometime in the degeneration of our beliefs, our values, our ideas, our conscience, amen, of filtering through secular ideas and notions and thoughts, amen. See, for such a long time that they become insensitive to the direction and the guidance of Almighty God. See, evil frequently shows up. Sometimes it begins in decent places. It starts in philosophical discussions in a classroom. Amen. And you know, I ain't gonna call no name because I don't want to. Sometimes it starts in debates in seminary. Sometimes in Sunday school classes. Amen. Sometimes in sermons, amen, at church. Falsehoods come well dressed up. And that's why it is important in these last days before Christ's return that we know his word and that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us from the oracles of Almighty God. See, when you know the word of God, you know, you're not ignorant of Satan and his devices. You become cognizant of how he's going to approach you and try to bring you down. Well, there's good news. Christ can renew your conscience. Amen. If your conscience has been messed up, if it's been seared, if it's been compromised, if it's been on the edge of allowing the enemy to have control of your mind and your life, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, can renew our consciences. He said that he would take out our old stony hearts and put in us a heart of flesh. Go with me to Romans 12, 2. And he says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't try to act like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you something. Works and rituals has never cleansed or saved anybody. Amen. So it is only through the washing of the word by the power of the Holy Spirit that our minds and our consciences are renewed. Amen. And a person can have a clean heart, which equates to a clean conscience and a right mind. See, if you want your heart to be clean, you want your conscience to be clean, then it begins by making the conscious decision, amen, to allow the Holy Spirit by his divine power to make that part of you new again. Don't listen to the world and say it can't happen. Only through the power of God. Each of us should work every day not to be conformed to the ideologies, the philosophies, or even the wisdom of the world, if you want to call it that. We need to put that away and move in a direction that will allow God to be pleased with our lives. And then through that, when we make the decision, Lord, I want to be transformed. And the only way that can happen is through the renewing of our minds. And the only thing that renews our minds is God, his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, you want your mind cleaned up? Get into the word. He will, amen. And we need to be telling the dying world every day that you can be changed. You can be different. You can be that person that God is calling for, but it's going to start in your mind, your conscience, and then what's in there will show up in your behavior. See, once your mind is transformed, your conscience has been renewed, you can prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of Almighty God. That is our job, that we are to be validating for the world what God's will is. We are to be validating for the world what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect in the eyes of Almighty God. See, when Jesus died out on Calvary, it was to save our souls. It was to bring us out of into the marvelous light, to fit us for heaven, get us ready to live in eternity with God. But it also was to equip us to live in a way that gives him glory, to live in a way that honors him as we walk on our journey down here. And for that reason, Christ went out to Mount Calvary, died and was buried and raised on the third day morning, got up with all power in his hand. And see, because of his shed blood and because of his resurrection, we can have our consciences cleansed. Because of what he did, he took the sting of death away, spared us that we might serve him all the days of our lives. When he rose from the dead, he freed us from the power of sin. Amen. And we need to take another look at the death of Jesus Christ and realize that liberty came through him dying and rising from the dead. See, I'm glad that God gave me a good conscience. I'm glad that he equipped me to know how to come back, even if I do slip or fall, that I can come back and be restored and have my conscience made new again. Let me help you this morning. Let God have your conscience. Let him use it. Let him speak to you, and by his divine power, that your life will be one that gives him glory every day that you walk down here on the face of this earth. Don't ignore, don't disrespect now the voice of God that is speaking through your conscience. I'm glad that my conscience sometimes condemns me. Amen. And sometimes I don't hear it until Sister Mobley says, "Now, Pastor Mobley." And when she say that, I know I need to, Lord, okay. I'm not thinking right. I'm not talking right. And you know, see, and let me clear this up. I'm not cussing. I'm not screaming. But it's the logic, amen, that sometimes goes awry because of the enemy. So we need to listen to the voice of God. God has given us a conscience to bless us, to enrich our lives, to make us more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only will it tell you what's wrong, it'll tell you what's right. And if we follow the righteous path and direction of the voice of God through our conscience, we'll be walking with God. And this whole life is about walking in a way that God is pleased. Amen. Like I said, it may not make you shout, but it'll sure help you live right. It'll make you live holy. See, now let me say this, and I'm going to open the doors of the church. When the Lord is telling you, you ought to be in Bible study. You ought to be in Sunday school. You ought to be in worship. That's not the devil. That's God. Amen. When the Lord is saying you ought to pray for that person who despitefully uses you and says all manner of evil against you falsely, that's God. When the Lord says love your brothers and your sisters, that's God. When he says, bring all the tithe into my storehouse, that's not the enemy, that's God. Amen. We need to be able to, by our conscience, discern and obey the voice of Almighty God. Amen. And I challenge anybody that if you follow God, you'll be all right. You will.